By the time the last bell rang, the car park felt like a stage. Parents moved between bumpers and backpacks, scanning for their children and the teachers who shaped them. Miss Hall sat behind the wheel and watched her colleague cross between the rows, keys loose in his hand, head turned toward her car for a second too long. It had started small, a shared joke over photocopies, a glance held after a staff briefing ran late. Nothing anyone could prove, nothing either of them had named. Now every eye felt sharper. A mother looked from him to her car and then back again, slow and careful, as if lining up a story in her head. Miss Hall knew the rules. No staff romance, no reasons for parents to complain. But her chest tightened as he lifted a hand in a quick automatic wave. In that tiny motion, Chapter 1, Quiet Lines, the sky over the primary school stayed a flat gray as Miss Hall pulled into the staff parking lot. She shut off the engine and watched her breath cloud the windscreen. The building looked tired and safe at once. Low brick, chipped paint, posters about kindness taped to the glass. Two spaces away, Mr. Lewis climbed out of his car with a satchel and a takeaway coffee. He checked the door, then glanced across the lot. Their eyes met. The small nod they shared tried to look like nothing more than routine. She stepped out, cold air biting her cheeks. Laughter floated from a group of younger staff near the entrance. They watched everything without even trying. Miss Hall fell into step with him at the door. "Morning," he said. "Morning," she answered. "You are in early." "Year 3 assessments," he said. "Needed a head start." "Parent emails," she said. "They do not sleep." They walked the corridor, shoes dull against the tiles. Classroom doors yawned open. Displays of children's work lined the walls. The school smelled of cleaner and paper. It felt like a place built for calm. She knew how fast that calm could turn. At her door, she stopped. "Good luck," she said. "You too," he answered, and moved on toward his room down the corridor. By mid-morning, the building shook with noise. Children shouted, chairs scraped, someone cried. Miss Hall moved between tables with her usual steady tone, handing out spelling sheets and splitting arguments. She kept her head in the work and away from the classroom four doors down. It did not last. During break, she carried worksheets to the photocopy room. The machine hummed, then jammed, then flashed its red light. "Not today," she muttered. "Talk to it first," a voice behind her said. She turned. Mr. Lewis leaned in the doorway, tie already loosened, mug in hand. "Talk to it," she repeated. "Always works," he said. He set his mug down and tapped the copier. "You are doing well. Please do not eat any more paper. Some of us are close to breaking." The machine clunked, then spat out clean copies. She laughed before she could stop herself. The sound filled the small room and bounced off the cabinets. "You see," he said, "respect." "Or fear," she said. "It knows you will kick it." Their eyes met. The joke hung between them a second longer than it should have. In that fraction, she felt the line shift from harmless to something else. No touch, no promise. Just an open doorway where a wall used to be. Footsteps passed in the corridor. Both of them stepped back. "Your copies are fine now," he said, voice flattened. "Thanks," she said, stacking the pages. Her hands trembled enough for her to notice. By lunchtime, the day had ground her down. Lost jumpers, a nosebleed, a parent message about test pressure. In the staff room, microwaves beeped and chairs scraped. Low talk buzzed above the hum of the fridge. Miss Hall took the end seat at the table and opened her lunch. Two teachers traded stories about behavior in upper years. Someone complained about marking. The room felt crowded and thin at the same time. Mr. Lewis walked in late, scanned the room, then dropped into the empty chair beside her. Conversation dipped, then picked up. "You look done," he murmured. "Year 2," she said. "They woke up angry." He smiled, quick and small. Their shoulders almost touched. He told a short story about a child trying to hand in an empty exercise book. The table laughed. When the noise faded, his attention slid back to her. She felt it without looking up. As people drifted out, Sophie, a younger teacher, lingered by the sink. She watched the way Miss Hall and Mr. Lewis packed away their containers, still talking in low voices. She dried a mug slower than needed, eyes fixed for a beat too long. The afternoon passed in a blur of lessons. By the final bell, corridors filled with parents and children. After dismissal, staff filtered into the library for the weekly meeting. Plastic chairs formed a loose circle under harsh lights. The principal sat at the front with a clipboard. Miss Hall chose a seat near the middle and opened her planner. Mr. Lewis walked in and without hesitation took the chair beside her. The choice was small. It still shifted the room. The principal spoke about attendance figures and upcoming events. Voices around the circle rose and fell in routine questions. Miss Hall took notes she knew she would not read again. Twice she leaned toward him to mutter a quiet comment. Twice he smothered a smile. For a moment they moved in their own small orbit. Near the end, the principal asked for help with an after-school literacy club. "We need one more member of staff," she said, "preferably from lower years." "I can help," Mr. Lewis said, "if Miss Hall is running it." The words landed hard. Heads turned. The principal looked from him to her. "Noted," she said. "Thank you both." Heat crawled up Miss Hall's neck. She kept her face blank and stared at her planner. At the edge of her vision, she saw Sophie's narrowed eyes. Patterns, she thought. People noticed patterns before they had facts. When the meeting broke, staff scattered. The sky outside had sunk into deeper gray. Rain dotted the windows. Miss Hall left the library with Mr. Lewis beside her. Their steps matched without effort. "You did not have to say that," she said. "About the club. You should not run it alone," he said. "You already do too much." "That is not the point," she said. "You made it sound like a package deal." He opened his mouth, then closed it. They reached the main doors in silence. Outside, the car park shone with thin puddles. A few parents lingered near the gate, coats pulled tight, voices low. A line of children hopped along the painted curb, waiting for lifts. They stepped out together. The cold air caught in her throat. "Excuse me," a voice called. They turned. A parent stood a few steps away, coat zipped high, umbrella hooked over one arm. Her child had already run toward the gate. "I keep seeing you two leaving together," the woman said. "You must be very close colleagues." Her tone stayed light, but her eyes moved between their faces with sharp interest. Miss Hall felt her heart punch her ribs. "We have a small staff," she said. "Everyone works closely." The woman smiled. It did not reach her eyes. She nodded and walked toward the gate, already leaning in toward another parent as she joined the small cluster. Their voices rose in a soft blend over the rain. Miss Hall could not hear the words. She watched the group tighten around the story that had just been handed to them. The quiet line she had been walking all term no longer felt private. It felt like fuel for a place that lived on talk. Chapter 2, Pressure Points. Rain hit the courtyard hard the next morning. Miss Hall walked through the gate with her hood up and her shoulders tense. She could feel the weight of the previous afternoon still clinging to her. The parents' slow look, the small cluster forming, the shift that spread without sound. Inside the staff room, mugs clattered and conversations flicked between weekend plans and lesson prep. She stepped in, trying to move with routine. Sophie glanced up, offered a tight nod, then looked away. Two other teachers lowered their voices when she passed. She sat at the far table and unpacked her planner. The air felt tight. Doors opened and closed with brisk snaps. When Mr. Lewis walked in, he paused at the doorway. He scanned the room, then crossed to the kettle. He kept his eyes down. It was a new distance, and it stung more than she expected. During first break, she headed toward the corridor outside the principal's office. A message had been left on her desk before class. "Please stop by." She knocked and stepped in when called. The principal sat with her hands folded on the desk. Her expression had none of its usual softness. "A parent raised a concern," she said. "Nothing formal yet. Just a note about you and Mr. Lewis." Miss Hall kept her voice steady. "What kind of concern?" "Professional boundaries," the principal said. "They feel you two are seen together often, enough to raise questions." She felt heat build under her collarbone. "We teach the same age group." "I know," the principal said, "but perception matters. We cannot ignore a parent's discomfort. I need you to be mindful. Keep interactions brief and public, for now." Miss Hall nodded once. "Understood." The principal held her gaze a moment longer. "This stays between staff. Do not discuss it with parents." When she stepped out of the office, her pulse was loud in her ears. A thin line of children moved down the corridor with their teaching assistant. They stared in the way children stare, open and blunt, unaware of how their eyes landed. She walked to her room and tried to lock her mind back into teaching. Lessons dragged. Her voice felt heavy. At lunch, she stayed in her room rather than face the staff room again. Halfway through her sandwich, a soft knock came. She opened the door. Mr. Lewis stood there with a nervous set to his jaw. "Can I talk to you?" he said. She stepped back and let him in. He closed the door, but stayed a few inches from it. "They spoke to me this morning," he said. "Same thing they told you, I guess. Parent complaint. Boundaries." Miss Hall set her lunch aside. "We knew this could happen." "I know," he said, "but it still hits hard." He moved closer, then stopped himself. The distance between them felt like a held breath. "We need to pull back," she said. She kept her tone blunt. "People are watching." "I can handle that," he said. "What I cannot handle is pretending none of this means anything." "You have to," she said, "for now." Silence stretched. The hum of the radiator filled the room. Outside, children shouted on the playground. Finally, he nodded. "I will follow your lead." But his eyes said the opposite. She saw the conflict burning under the surface. When he left, she leaned against the desk and pressed her palms flat until they hurt. She had tried to stop this early. She had tried to keep it quiet, clean, safe. The shift had still come. The afternoon stayed tense. Students sensed something and grew louder, testing her patience. She snapped once during a math task. Regret hit the moment the words left her mouth. After dismissal, she walked toward the staff room to gather her bag. Voices seeped under the door. Soft, sharp, deliberate. "She must think no one notices," someone said. "I saw them after the meeting yesterday," another voice answered. "Walking out side by side like nothing mattered." "They always do," Sophie said. "Some people forget parents talk." Miss Hall froze. Her breath hitched. She turned before they could see her and walked down the corridor, forcing her steps to stay even. Outside, gray clouds sagged low over the playground. She crossed the car park with her head down, trying not to meet anyone's eyes. Near the gate, a familiar voice stopped her. "Miss Hall, a moment." A PTA member stood near the fence, coat pulled tight, clipboard tucked under her arm. Her expression was polite, in the way knives are polished. "I spoke with a few parents," the woman said. "They are uncomfortable with the closeness between you and Mr. Lewis. They worry it distracts from the children." Miss Hall felt the words like cold water. "I assure you," she said, "every child gets my full attention." The woman gave a thin smile. "Rumors grow fast. I will be speaking with the principal. We all want the school to maintain high standards." The conversation ended there. Miss Hall walked to her car without another word. Her hands shook as she unlocked the door. Across the lot, Mr. Lewis stood beside his own car. He watched her with a look she could not read. His shoulders sat tight, his jaw worked, as if holding back something sharp. She got in and shut the door. Rain hit the roof in steady taps. She rested her forehead against the steering wheel. They had tried to be careful, they had tried to keep it small and quiet. But in a school this size, with parents who built stories from scraps, pressure did not need much to grow. By the time she started the engine, the next stage had already begun. The PTA member would go to the principal. The principal would go to the district, and every eye in the building would turn sharper. The quiet romance had shifted into something that could break them both. Chapter 3, The Break Line. Wind pushed against the school fence as Miss Hall walked in the next morning. The courtyard felt colder, stripped of its usual noise. A few staff crossed paths without pausing. Their greetings stayed clipped. Even the children seemed unsure, tugging at their backpacks as if waiting for some signal no one had explained. She stepped into the building. A message waited in her pigeonhole. "Meeting, 8:30, principal's office." She folded the slip without breathing too hard. When she knocked, the door opened at once. The principal sat with a district representative beside her, a man with a neat tie and a controlled expression. Mr. Lewis occupied the chair to the left. His posture was straight, his eyes fixed on a point on the wall. "Have a seat," the principal said. Miss Hall sat. The chair felt colder than the room. "We received a formal statement from a PTA member," the principal said. "Not an accusation, a concern. However, once something reaches the district, we must address it." The district representative leaned forward. "This is about perception. Parents believe you two are involved in a relationship. We do not make assumptions. We address impact." Miss Hall kept her voice steady. "We have not broken any policies." "You have not," he said, "but boundaries have to be clear. When staff appear close, it affects trust. Families worry, staff start talking, small things spread. She nodded once. Her heartbeat pressed against her ribs. Mr. Lewis spoke for the first time. If anyone should answer for this, it is me. I made choices that drew attention. I take responsibility. His voice was calm, but the admission landed like a heavy stone. The principal's brows lifted. The representative wrote something on his pad. That is not necessary, Miss Hall said. We both. He cut her off without turning his head. I caused the problem. I will handle it. The room felt smaller. His attempt to shield her only stirred the air harder. The representative closed his folder. Here is our position, no disciplinary action. But both of you must agree to limit private interactions. Arrive separately, leave separately, keep distance during school events. If concerns continue, we revisit the matter at the next review. The principal added, this must end now, whatever form it has taken. The school cannot be a stage for rumor. The meeting ended with clipped nods. Miss Hall stepped into the corridor with a tight chest. Mr. Lewis walked out behind her. For a moment, neither spoke. What was that? She said softly. I tried to take the hit, he said. They were ready to push harder. You made it worse. He exhaled, sharp and tired. Students began filling the corridor. Their voices swelled, covering the conversation. Miss Hall stepped back into her classroom and shut the door. The morning dragged. She moved through lessons with practiced steadiness, though every minute felt scraped raw. Her hands tightened on markers. Her voice thinned when noise rose. Children looked at her with puzzled eyes, sensing something beneath the surface. By midday, the tension in the building felt thick enough to choke. During lunch, she stayed inside again, marking books with mechanical focus. Rain hit the windows, steady and hard. When the final bell sounded, she released her class and packed her bag in silence. She stepped into the car park with her coat pulled tight. That was when she heard it. Miss Hall, a parent, stood near the gate, anger sharpening her posture. Her son tugged at her sleeve, but she shook him off. We need to talk, the woman said. You and that other teacher think we do not notice. My child comes home repeating things he overhears. Other parents are talking now, loudly. Miss Hall kept her voice measured. Your child is safe. There is nothing between staff that affects students. The woman stepped closer. Then stop giving us reasons to doubt you. A few more parents slowed their steps. Eyes turned, conversations died, the air thickened. Mr. Lewis crossed the lot toward them. His stride was quick, jaw tight. That is enough, he said. Do not speak to her like that. The woman snapped back. You are part of the problem. The small crowd drew in. Miss Hall felt the moment breaking open like a fault line. The quiet pressure of the last days now stood in the middle of the car park, exposed and burning. We are leaving, Miss Hall said to him under her breath. Now, but he was already in the tide of it. We have done nothing wrong, he said to the parent. Nothing. The parent folded her arms. Then explain why everyone sees you together. Silence followed, heavy, final. Miss Hall stepped forward. This stops here. We will keep distance. There will be no more reasons for concern. The woman, Miss Hall, walked to her car, pulse hammering, throat tight. Mr. Lewis followed, but kept a few steps back. At her door, he stopped. We cannot let them run our lives like this. She turned, keys in her hand. We work in a small school with fast talk and sharp eyes. This will not die down, not while we are here. We can wait it out, he said. Stay careful, keep it quiet. They will not let it go, she said. You saw today. Wind pushed across the lot. Cars started. Children shouted from the far gate. Her voice stayed low, steady. I cannot stay here, she said. Not like this. Not with everyone watching. He looked down, then back at her. His expression carried all the things neither of them had said aloud. Hope, fear, confusion, and the sting of a line crossed too late to undo. Are you leaving? He asked. I think I have to, she said, before this gets worse. He nodded once, slow and heavy. Then I guess this is it. She opened her door. I am sorry. He stepped back. Me too. The engine turned over. Rain started again, soft at first, then harder. She pulled out of the lot while he stood still in the cold, watching her taillights fade through the fencing. By the time she reached the main road, the school sat behind her like a sealed chapter. A quiet romance had grown in a place too small to hold it. What remained now was the cost.